Listen to this.
Zakawani, the flying winger.
Here's Brad Evans.
It's Steve.
Who is it? It's Brad Evans.
It's not again.
Happy days are here again. Turning with a drive, it's Steve Zakawani. Evans with the left foot. He's an attacking threat, Brad Evans.
This is so weird.
The party has started.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Steve Zakawani, and welcome to another episode of Side by Side. Brad Evans is out playing, which is crazy to me. In the 7v7 tournament, I think it's like for $1 million or something like that. So Brad is not here this week. It's just Keely and I. But we do have a special guest who will be joining us shortly. For me, just an absolute legend, captain of the reign, who have a big game tomorrow against the Portland Thorns. Lauren Barnes will be here. And that's not the only big game in town tomorrow. The Sounders play the Timbers. So we're going to talk a little bit about that because we do have to focus on that and then recap, you know, pretty disappointing midweek game. But I'm optimistic that the Sounders will finally break this little bad patch against the Timbers and find a way to fix it, because there's been so many games we've gone into in great form, playing well, and then end up losing. So it just might be that, you know, the form's been a bit questionable, up and down, picking up, you know, a win here and there, but not in the most convincing fashion. Injuries have been hard to come by. And, you know, and I think the Timbers also aren't in the best form. They've lost three of their last five games, just like the Sounders lost three of their last five games. You know, at least the Sounders have won twice in that time. The Timbers have only won once. But first, back to Wednesday. And before I kind of go on what I thought I saw and my opinions, Keely, what did you see?
Against San Jose?
Yes.
I saw a team that didn't start playing until they were losing.
Correct.
That's basically what I saw.
Correct. And it was weird because the urgency didn't kick in. And when it did kick in, it was fantastic. I mean, it was dynamic. The team was moving the ball well.
They looked so good. It was like, where was this
the first half? Why wait to fall behind against a pretty average team, in my opinion? A team that we should be beating. I mean, in the end, Sounders ended up having 23 shots, 8 on target, 9 shots.
They are better than their numbers. What was it, Danny Jackson's stat of the or whatever, was that they left 8 points on the table.
Correct. Conceding after the 90th minute. Crazy like that. So San Jose is not a bad team, but it's a team that the Sounders at home, you'd expect to be beaten. I will say, especially in the first half, it's probably the best I've seen Adero in a long time. Nico looked like the old Nico, looked very motivated. I hate to say the old Nico, because the new Nico, or the current Nico, is still Nico Adero. When you're judged against your own standards, it's really unfair. It happens to all the greats, from, you know, Brady to LeBron to, I'm sure, you know, before my time, kind of, to Michael Jordan. I'm sure it happens to everybody. Messi's going for it right now, where you get to 33, 34, 35. Okay, I cannot do what I did at 28. But at 34, I'm still pretty good, and I'm still pretty much better than almost everyone else. I'm just not exactly what I was, but I've changed in different ways, and I'm seeing that evolution with Nico right now, which I thought was fantastic. I thought in the first half, Albert found the ball a lot and played well as well, but we were just missing that final click. As you mentioned, Keely, when we fell behind, then the team began to play, and fell behind in the 48th minute. So that final 40 minutes or so, plus stoppage time and all of that, was some of the most exciting stuff I've seen, because you felt the goal was coming. And when I saw the great Raul Ruiz Diaz two sitters, I said, okay, this is not our night. You know, we're going to kind of play the next 10 minutes or so. We're not going to score. We can play here till Friday. We're not going to score, because that's Raul. Raul needs less than that to score. And you just saw the look on his face, like almost in disbelief. The stadium had a collective hush and disbelief, because he just does not do that. So that pretty much summed up that night for me, where it just was the ball's not going in the goal. So I think it's harsh to say the team, you know, didn't want it, or didn't play well, or, you know, the Sounders suck. Like, we've got to avoid that and really analyze what took place there. Played okay in the first half. Waited till we fell behind and then began to play. But what we did when we began to play, with, you know, Reed Baker-White on the pitch, Tevez on the pitch, Atencio on the pitch, these are young players who played a big role. Reed was excellent. Tevez had these moments. Atencio covers as much ground as anybody. He's everywhere. So the future is, of course, very bright, but I think even the present is very bright, because on another day, we score 3 goals in that game. In that second half, with that kind of pressure on the goalkeeper, all the shots, all the crosses, all the attacks, the set pieces, you find a way to score 3 goals. I've been around this game long enough to see that happen, but I've also seen this side happen, where no matter what you do, it is just not going to go in. No time to dwell, bad result, because the Timbers come to town. And I think it's like 4 defeats in a row.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not good. And there's even probably, if you go back even more games, you probably find just a few wins in the last however many. So it's not been great. We were down there in Portland a few weeks ago. 60 minutes, everything went well. Raul scored, of course, against the Timbers. Then it just fell apart. And I've always said, if Asprilla scores a tap-in, we still win that game.
100%.
It's the goal he scored. This crazy overhead kick, bicycle kick. And the place erupted. It gave them new life. Felt like they were playing with 12, 13, 14, 15 players. And I had a feeling that, okay, they're going to score every time they attack. And then it happened. And, you know, ended up being 4-1, which, man, a little bit harsh still. But, hey, it is what it is. So ways to avoid that is you have to use your crowd on the weekend. The Timbers did that down there. You have to use this amazing Sounders crowd who've been by our side since day one and before, even the MLS iteration. Always had a good following here in this community. Use that. You know, let the Timbers come in here and be intimidated. They can't come in here and play their game. You know, Gio Savarese's boys, they can't come in here and play whatever they will consider to be the Portland Timbers style, the Portland Timbers way. We cannot allow that. We have to jump on them in the first minute. I say this often on the broadcast. It comes down to the first tackle. Can you be the one to make the first tackle? I want to see JP go through someone, win the ball, of course, but leave a little message. And then the crowd roars on their feet. Okay, he's here to play today. And the first header, can Yema really get up there and just, head the ball 20 yards and go through someone like Zach Scott used to do for us a lot. Things like that. Really get everyone pumped up and going. The first shot, you know, shot from distance and keeper has to dive into the top corner to tip it around the post. That'll get the place going. Of course, an early goal would do wonders as well. So I think those things, you want to be first in this kind of game. You don't want to be losing your 50-50 duels. You don't want to be, you know, allowing them to get comfortable and start to do whatever it is they plan to do tomorrow. Play the Sounders way. Focus on what we need to do. Ziggy Schmidt would always say to us, yes, we'll take the opponent very seriously, but let's be ourselves. Let's do what we need to do. Because I have so much confidence that if we do what we need to do, we'll win. That's what he used to tell us. And more often than not, we did. When we did the right thing, followed the game plan. And I know Schmetz is cut from a similar cloth. So I think it's a game to be excited about. The Timbers, you know, we have to throw form out of the window. I did go through sort of these both teams been struggling. That doesn't matter. I think at this point in this rivalry, home pitch advantage doesn't even exist. They both, nope. You know, like some of our most recent wins have been down there. There was that, was it 6-3 or 6-1 or what was that game?
It was like 6-1.
With the Madranda crazy goal.
Let me look that up.
Yeah, I want to say it was a crazy
game. I've been
game.
Avoiding looking up our previous Portland games, so I don't have it on the top of my head.
Yeah,
sorry,
we'll get it. It was 6-something. I mean, it was just crazy. So, you know, you go to your opponent and score 6 goals. I mean, that's kind of crazy to me. But we've been, you know, not good recently. Hey, let's call it what it is. It is what it is. We have not been good against this team for a very, very long time.
6-2.
6-2. Okay.
In 2021.
2021. That was the game. We've not been great. So how do you fix that now? The lineup, I think Schmetz got go with his strongest possible lineup. Look, so unfortunately, Alex Rodan will be out. That yellow card. Awful. Awful. The referee, I think, can take that one back and say, hey, maybe I call the foul and let this go. Yellow card in that
bad
way.
Luck.
It was not the right one. I feel a little bit for Alex Rodan. But at the same time, he's out. Next man up mentality has to be. I think the team has enough depth now. I think Schmetz knows what he needs to do. You know, you have Kellen Rowe, we can slide in there. You know, I'm pretty sure Cody Baker could play there. Reed can play there. So, and I think it probably would be Reed. That's why he probably is the one that came on. I think he didn't do himself any harm. Actually, he did himself a lot of favors, but you never know. A coach goes to bed, sleeps on it, wakes up, has a different feeling, goes to someone else. That can happen too. I did bump into Christian in the press box. We had a little chat, and Jordan too. You know, Christian's doing his best. We don't know yet. You know, we'll see what happens. I hope to see him at least on the bench. Because if we didn't know how important he was before, oh, now we know.
Yeah.
Now we know. And it's not really anything he's going to come and do. It's just who he is on the pitch for this team. You know, the ground he covers, the defensive work he does for Nico, for an Albert at times as well. Christian's a very selfless player. And he pops up in the box in the right moments. His connection on the right with his brother. He won't be there. But he's just a fantastic all-around player and a very, very important piece of this team. JP will be back in there. I think Raul should start. I think you play Raul from the beginning, and if Raul has 60 minutes in him, then play the first 60. I don't want to save Raul and we'll bring him on if the conditions are right. Release the animal. Release him. This is a guy who's going to bed right now smelling blood. He knows he missed two big chances. A motivated Raul Ruiz Diaz, who wants to make up for those misses against his biggest rivals, who he's been destroying for years, I would play him from the start. Nico will be there, we know. Unfortunately, no Jordan. I thought Leo True was outstanding in midweek. Outstanding. Dangerous all night.
All
that is not... Oh, my God. The crosses. And he's going to make mistakes. And he's still a young player. He's learning his way. But come on. You're getting that kind of dangerous threat for 90 minutes. I mean, Marie... he's probably seeing me in his nightmares now. Like, he destroyed him to the point we got a yellow card and had to leave the pitch, and they put a different right back. Didn't help, still killed him. So he has to play, and he has to really, really be on his game. And what I want to see from True is consistency. Do that again. And then next week, do it again. And that's when we say, okay, he's arrived. Because right now, he's knocking on the door. He's knocking on the door. But the consistency piece is not quite there yet. The consistency piece, which is the hardest thing to do in sports, is to be good every single night. That's very difficult to do. So he'll have his ups and downs, but he's a big piece for tomorrow. You need your best players to step up. Nuhu had excellent minutes, looked like Nuhu again. So I expect him to play. You know, Yema will be back for Arriaga. Reagan's in there, Fry. So I'm going through the team here because it's a very good team. It's a team that should step on the field against the Timbers. I don't know. Brad always uses this example. How many players from the other team would you take in a lineup? And I don't know that we'll take many Timbers in the Sounders lineup. So we're pretty happy with what we have. But it's a big one. It's a big one. Going to need the fans to be there. Of course, it's a double header with the Rain against the Thorns. Sounders play first, I believe. Yeah, Sounders are first.
Yes, we're first.
Rain play after that. So just exciting. Just exciting. And this podcast coming out today, we have another one tomorrow, a live podcast.
I don't know. Really busy, guys.
Yeah, I'm busy as well, coaching tournaments this weekend as well. But I'll be at the game. I'm not going to miss that game. I don't know what that area is called, some kind of concourse.
It's
I don't know.
West Concourse.
Sure.
It's by the pro shop.
Yeah, go to the pro shop and then listen up for the English accent and then whatever accent Marcus Hanneman has. And then
depends on how many beers he
depends.
Has before.
It depends, yeah. It depends. So we'll be there doing a live podcast at 12:20. We'll be there. So make sure you join us there. We'll be hyping you up, getting you ready for this massive game. And the game kicks off, you know, 1:30 or so, you know, probably a few minutes after that. But we're excited. So Keely, you have the broadcast info?
Yes, we are on Apple TV and Fox as well. Fox 13 is also going to feature us on Good Day Live in the morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. from the Delta Club at Lumen Field. And they will also be producing a sports special from 12:30 to 1:30, also from Lumen Field. So tons of coverage before Seattle-Portland. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. We're on 93.3 FM English Radio. You can also use the drop-down option on Apple TV. Please reach out to Steve on Twitter on how to do that. I no longer have a Twitter account,
man,
because
yeah.
I value my mental health. Is that a dog?
I envy you.
Oh, no, that was your chair just made a weird noise. I thought there was a dog.
Hear a stuff up? Yeah.
yeah, 93.3 English Radio and then 1360 El Rey Spanish Radio.
Amazing. So it's a busy weekend. I even heard there's like a bunch of concerts and stuff. And, you
tons
know,
of stuff.
Yeah,
tons
I don't know if I'll
stuff.
Be able to attend. And I wish, but yeah, this is just a fun weekend. I was driving the other day and just said, man, how lucky are we to be living in
Seriously.
The Pacific Northwest in this city? The water look beautiful. The trees look great. And they'll look even better with 3 points. And let's call it 6 points tomorrow. So both teams can win. So I'm excited for that. We will see you there at the game. And then we'll be back next week. I believe there's a game next week. Oh, man, I didn't feel
Oh, yeah, there's a game. I think they're going to Charlotte.
Yes, Charlotte. So we'll be doing that game next week. We'll be previewing that and we'll be recapping Brad's performance. I'm going to go and watch the video on tape.
Maybe he'll be a millionaire when he comes
Oh,
back.
Yeah, I want some of that. So that 7v7, Brad is in there. If you can watch,
you can
I think
go
it's
to
on Peacock.
Hood Famous and buy us some baked goods.
I think it's on Peacock and CBS or something like that, or YouTube.
Yes,
and all of that,
it's on YouTube and Peacock.
Yes.
You can stream it.
And the legend has just walked in. I'm in the middle of a live podcast, and the legend has just walked in. And you're back in town.
I am.
Oh, good to see you. The new Rain GM. Say hi.
Oh, my gosh.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, this is so great. How to make your day. Walk in and see Steve Zakuani sitting here live.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And we just had Lauren Barnes here.
Awesome.
She was here, yeah.
Big games tomorrow.
Yes.
So exciting.
We'll preview
that.
I'll be seeing you, yes.
God, this weekend's going to be
what
fun,
what a weekend
guys.
This has been. What
so
a day.
So much fun. Oh, my God.
I walk in today, and I'm walking in the door with Laura Harvey. And then we get to sit down and talk to Lauren Barnes. And then the legend, Coach Gallimore. Oh, man. Did so many years at UW for the women's team there. Exceptional. Then worked with academies and youth academies on the girls' side. And then now is a GM for our own OL Reign. Just an exceptional person. So what a rich soccer community we have here in Washington. And again, that'll be on full display this weekend. Excited is not even the word for what is coming
to us.
Seriously,
guys, stay for both. Rain games are so much fun. Lauren Barnes actually got me tickets to a playoff game 2 years ago. It was amazing. Steve is always there.
Yeah.
It is like one of the best shows in town, truly, honestly.
Awesome. And tomorrow will be great against the Portland Thorns. Timbers and Thorns coming to town. Same weekend. Wow. Excited. All right. We'll be back next week. This has been Side by Side. Minus Brad Evans, myself and Keely. Thanks again to Lauren Barnes. Thank you to the OL Rain for making it available. And we'll see you all at the game tomorrow. And stay tuned for the Lauren Barnes interview, which is
coming up next.
A really good interview. Well, I'm going to say this is, for me, personally a pleasure because I'm a big fan of the team and of yourself. I've been following the whole season, every game, pretty much.
Love that.
And we were just talking a little bit about the past couple home games, and we'll get into that. But how would you assess sort of the team's start to the season, just from a big overview, big picture?
Yeah. I mean, this is my 11th season with the Rain, so we've done well over the past years. But the ending of last year was kind of like deflating, I think. A little heartbreaking because we had a really good season, won the Shield, went into playoffs, and just didn't perform how we wanted to. Because, you know, sometimes you lose and you perform well and you can walk away and be like,
yeah,
it hurts, but like we've played well. And I don't think that was the case. I feel like we felt we didn't put our full potential out on the field. So I think it was probably like a week after me and Laura got on a phone call and we're like, what do we need to change? Like, what is that 1 to 3% that we need to kind of get better at? So that was like our focus on the off season. So I was really excited to come into this season with, you know, a different mindset. I'm pretty similar with Laura. I mean, like, obviously been in the same place for 11 years.
Yeah.
Change isn't a big thing for me.
Yeah.
But we knew that we needed something different. Change is maybe not the word, but like just something different. And this year we came back with a squad that was pretty similar to last year, which is always great.
Yeah.
You keep your foundation, you keep building. And then I think we added a few things here and there. Moving up to Starfire, I think, has helped a lot. We're at a facility where everything's in one place
now.
I think those small details that like people don't see on the outside like really do affect us.
Absolutely.
In training and performing. So I think that's been a huge plus for us. And then we kind of tweaked our play. So we're playing a little bit different this year. First time we've done it ever since I've been under Laura. So I think that's just exciting. I mean, you know, soccer's kind of like a puzzle anyways. How do you find solutions out there? So this was our solution this year and it's going well. And I think for the team, especially like we're almost hitting mid-season that we're kind of coming into our form right now, and it's been really fun to watch. So
yeah, and it's funny you said it. Like it is 11 years here, but there's been so many different sort of iterations and all of that. You seem to be like the steady presence. Like you've been a strong fixture here through all the different changes, Tacoma and back, and here and there. You've been there. From the outside, that's how it looks like. How do you yourself view sort of your role on the team? Like, how are you in the locker room? Is it like a thing that you take seriously to kind of when people come to this club to let them know this is what we're about? Mm-hmm. This is how you get it done. How are you in the locker room in terms of a leadership role?
Yeah, I think I get this question a lot. Yeah. I'm naturally introverted, so it's
the introverts for the introverts.
It's like leadership to me probably looks different than like a lot of vocalness. I think I lead through example, inclusivity, I think. I think that's what our club's about. I want to make people feel safe and feel like they can be successful here. And I think that's what I take a lot of pride in doing. And I've done it from the start. In saying that, though, like when I came in 2013, Laura did that, I think, to the squad. So it's a big testament to what she's built here in our foundation. And then along with Pino and Jess, our dynamic. So I wear the badge, but in terms of like our captains and leaders and stuff, it's us three. And our balance is unbelievable. Like the respect that we all have for Pino and the way she carries herself on and off the field and what she's doing in the world is a lot like more global than like what Jess and I do. And then Jess on the field is unbelievable. So it's like we have these like avenues where girls can go to all three of us for different things. So I think that's why I'm so successful in this role is because of the other two. But I think it's just our dynamic that really helps that. And we're known for a club that like people want to come to, one, because we play beautiful soccer, but because they've all heard about in our environment. So that's something that we are very proud of and we want to protect and continue to grow.
Yeah, and that definitely comes across. And it's funny you mentioned Jess there. So I've always sort of had an interest like in women's soccer. I watch all kinds of soccer. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I had like an event I did many years ago, and I just walked in with your coach, Laura Harvey, just now, because she coached in that event I had.
Oh,
and I got to play against
this.
Jess and Beverly.
Yep, I do remember this.
I knew they were good. I did not know they were that good. Uh-huh. So it was like, I was trying to pressure Jess on one play. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this ball. And she kind of flicked it around the corner before I got there. And I was like, oh, wow. So that made me fall in love with it more. And I'm going to tie into that. You guys seem like you're always having fun. Yeah. Like the quirky team photos, when I see the videos of the team getting off the bus, everyone just seems so relaxed and fun. Uh-huh. What's the secret to that? Why? It's such a fun locker room, it seems like.
Yeah, I feel like the standard or like the stereotype of like performing that you have to be focused, and focused means, you know, like, no
serious
laughing,
face,
smiling.
No smile. Yeah.
And I think, you have to figure out what you need to be ready for the game. I think we show maybe that you can be relaxed in a certain way. So we've got the music going. You know, we have so many fun personalities that just come out. And I think that's what's great about our environment. We allow everyone to be themselves. So I think when they see someone being like, oh my God, like I can like dance before a game and still perform, then you just find your way. So I think that's really special actually.
Yeah.
And I actually think I've seen it now across the league where like you see that more now. So, you know, the standard's changing in that sense. And I think for me, the game's growing at an incredible rate. So you have to adapt. And I think that is also part of like adapting is finding ways to be able to perform at your highest. And if that's not just being, you know, like straight edge, like you can't smile, I can't do that. Cause you do have some like, you know, S&Cs that come in that are like, don't talk during warm up, you know?
Yeah.
We don't really have that vibe here, but I think that also starts with our manager, Laura.
Yeah.
She's very relaxed. She wants us to be able to express ourselves in any way possible. And, you know, the respect is all over the place. So if you do need to be, you know, really focused, quiet in the warm up, like there's a line for that, you know, and then if it, you know, the other line that's wild is kind of on the other side and they get to do what they want to do. And in the locker room, same thing, you know, people put their headphones on if that's what they need to do. People are dancing, you know, we just got a new Brazilian Luani and she's brought in so much personality and light, which like for me, I'm like, whenever I think about the Brazilian team, I've played against them, you know, throughout my career, it's like, We're walking down the tunnel and they're all laughing and dancing. And I just remember like representing my country in the US and we're all standing there like this, like, you know, and I'm like, oh, like the love for it, the passion for it, it doesn't matter what that looks like as long as you're able to go out and perform. So
true. I mean, what you guys just make everyone feel welcome and they can be themselves, which is an amazing thing to do. You're going to be tied with the Reign, you know, forever and whatever happens. But you did have a career before the Reign, and I may get this wrong. Were you a Gatorade high school player of the in California?
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us about your high school career and also the UCLA years.
Yeah. So I grew up in a smaller town called Upland, California. So it's like 45 minutes inland of LA. We had one high school, so we all went it there. Yeah. So it was a town where everyone knew everyone. But lucky enough, like the area I lived in, California in general, is a breeding place for soccer anyway.
Yes.
So like the standards for soccer are really high down there. But I lived in like a pocket where it was kind of like we weren't the San Diegos, we weren't the LAs, you know, and then we weren't NorCal. So we like kind of had this like gem of a area where a lot of like girls fell under like the radar. So like my high school team ended up being so good. Like there was so many of us that went to college. My year, there was a USC, myself, Irvine, like just people going every direction. But I think they just kind of got missed. But we've had 2 years in my high school, just like a hell of a season. So we won CIF. We were a public small school. Just got really lucky with one coach. I actually just saw her down in San Diego. She's got four kids now. So she lives down there, comes back and still supports. So
amazing.
Yeah, we got that small town vibe kind of feel, but we did have a lot of talent in my city. So I got lucky with that.
Yeah. And it was the jump to UCLA for you, was it like a big jump? Were you prepared? Like once you got to...
Yeah, I would say all over the place I was not prepared, educational-wise and, you know, the athletic side. It took a lot of adapting. And I, like, again, I got a little bit of luck. The left back that came into UCLA that was going to be a senior ended up doing her ACL. So they needed me to come in. Like, I probably had a year maybe to, like, adapt, but kind of got thrown into it a little bit quicker than I thought. But sometimes, you know, sink or swim is the way to go.
That's the way it goes. Yeah, so, that's the way it goes. Wow.
So I think my first year as a freshman, I had to adapt to so many things. Like, it was the first time I was really in the gym. Like, back in the day, like, we just didn't do that in club soccer. Yeah, so learning how to balance that. Nutrition was a huge one for me that was I was learning about. And then balancing school. It's like you had two full-time jobs.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out how to do that. But the journey was beautiful. I loved UCLA. I would do it again in a heartbeat. We've got a lot of Bruins now on the team. So literally like 10 years apart. So funny. So everyone's like, oh, did you play with these ones? I'm like, no. 11 years older. I didn't. I missed them. but yeah, so that's been fun to see that UCLA continues to stay at a higher level. And a lot of them are in the league, which is so cool. And then I got drafted to...
What was that the goal? Were you thinking pro soccer? Or were you sort of like, you know, playing as a kid and like, okay, I'm going to play on this club and then the next step, then the next step? Yeah. Or were you thinking like, one day I would like to play professionally?
Yeah, I think my youth, like I had an older brother who's 4 years older, so I did everything he did. So sports was just big. But back in the day, we did seasonal sports. So you did soccer for just that season. You did basketball. You did swimming. Yeah. So like, I got exposed to a lot of different things. So I don't think like soccer, like especially at a younger age, was like, I want to be a pro. I think initially it was like, oh, I can maybe go to school and like help financially with my family. Like that was a goal. And then I got into UCLA, like loved it. Obviously took it a little bit more serious. But growing up, I didn't have like a league to look at and be like, that's what I want to do. You know, like I watched MLS, like my family's basketball. My dad played basketball in college. So I was more of like that side, which was still not a lot of females involved in that. And I don't even think the WPS was up and running then. So yeah, I don't think it was an overall goal. I'm competitive. I loved playing soccer. I loved team sports. So it was definitely something I wanted to be involved in. And then obviously when the draft came out, I was going to put my name in regardless to see, you know, what happened. Got drafted by Philadelphia, had a year there and like never touched the field. Didn't play at all. So going from like being a starter at UCLA and also just like my mindset was young. I didn't truly understand like it's a whole nother level, you know, what it takes to be there. So I learned that over that year, which was a huge like year of growth. But I decided to stop playing because the WPS was so shaky. It was like every morning we woke up and we're like, is there going to be
didn't
a
know,
B?
Yeah,
like, we didn't
yeah.
know. So it's hard to invest in something like that when like every morning and I tell people this all the time. I'm like, I was making $6,000 my first year. So it was like, I was making more out of my scholarship.
Just to think about it, it's so insane to think about that. Like just, so even that makes me just so proud to see how far the game has come in this country. It's just like when I'm going to games, like, and that's one thing I wanted to ask you was like, it still feels weird for me to say that the Reigns seem like one of the best kept secrets. For me, it's like, we have World Cup winners. Some of the best players in the world. Why would I not go to a game?
Yeah.
So I sit, you know, I try not to distract anybody. I sit down the pitch side seats and I like will get into it. Oh, that playoff game last year, I was heated. Oh, I was into it.
I remember that.
Oh, I was so into it. So it's, you know, but I just don't get, it's like, so weekends like this one, right? The doubleheader. Portland Timbers play and the Sounders and then Reign plays against the Thorns. Like, how important are these kinds of weekends then? Just in terms of, not to that you guys have to sell yourselves, but hey, this is really good. Yeah. Like, you should know about this. Just how important is a weekend like this?
Yeah, I speak about this a lot because there's like a part of us where it's like we should be grateful that we get doubleheaders, which we definitely are. And I don't want to feel like negative, but we live in this like soccer city and I'm still like, how are we not pulling bigger crowds?
I agree.
Totally. Yeah.
And
totally.
You're right. It's like we have like, we're so marketable.
Yeah.
The people that we have on our team, not even just like faces and like personalities, but like actual style of play. Like,
really
we've
good.
Got the best.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
You know, and it's so much fun to watch. So like, I still like, I don't know where that disconnect is. Are we not out in the community enough?
Yeah. I think you are the most in the community.
that is not
the problem. Yeah. You are like the most.
Yeah. But what the doubleheaders definitely do for us is expose us to maybe eyes that haven't seen us yet. So I always say, like, if you just come and watch one game, you fall in love.
Yeah.
And then you come back,
which
is great. So, like, the exposure to that, they help with marketing and stuff like that, too, which helps. And, you know, Sounders have done so well for so long in terms of, like, their fan base and, like, loyalty, which why I love the city.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just think having these games are so important, because like even our Portland Thorns, like they do so well. Like the city's smaller, there's not a lot of other sports that they're like competing against, so it makes sense. But it's always so fun to walk into those atmospheres. Yeah. It's intimate, but you have like 20,000 people.
Absolutely,
whatever,
yeah.
And across the league, like you're seeing that now, which is like so great. Yeah. And it's just like, you're right. Like we have this like special, you know, little piece of art up here that like
it's amazing. And you're right saying if someone watches once, because when I go to a game, I always try to bring someone new with me. So the last couple of games I've taken, I coach some kids, and maybe 16, 17 year old kid, first time ever going to a professional women's soccer game, and he's been texting me, when's the next one? So things like that is what it's about, right? And I like to go, I go just as a fan, and I'm invested, and I check the results and all of that. And speaking of that, you just got back from San Diego. How different is it? I think this is the first year, maybe last year, I could be wrong, where the Challenge Cup is sort of integrated into the season as opposed to its own standalone. So how is it switching from regular season game to Challenge Cup? Like, I know Laura's done a great job balancing the squad with that, but sort of having an in-season competition, how has it changed the approach? Or maybe it hasn't?
Yeah. No, I definitely think it does. I think it's way more beneficial to do it during season.
Yeah.
I think what's hard about it before is that, like, it's almost like it's still preseason, so you're not in form. You don't necessarily know which direction you're going to kind of go yet. And then it's like you're playing all these games. And then, like, I think we played the final last year, or semifinal, and then had our first league game the week after. It's like that's hard to switch
that
from.
That is very tough.
Where it's in the middle of the season, it's like you're prepared. Your team's more in form. You get to rest and you get to play people that need minutes, which is like that strengthens your squad so much more. Yeah. We have a lot of depth.
Yeah, you do.
And then to get our depth to have even more minutes than they would like normally, like that's huge for the season that we play, the amount of games we play, and like the style of the NWSL, right?
Yeah.
It's so fast, so transitional, so physical. So you need every single person on your squad. And so I think Challenge Cup highlights that, so you get to see the teams that like have invested.
That's right.
And then, you know, our squad's been together for so long, so like you do see that. Like, so the difference between us and San Diego is like San Diego's 2 years young, but like we're able to, you know, have this squad that's like a couple of them maybe aren't starters, but have been in the league for 2 years and have a lot of minutes.
That's right.
Belts.
Yeah.
So they get to go and show that, and like they will be starters, you know, in the next couple years.
Depth is really good.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. This is one of the best scores you've had, if not the best, at least on paper. It's a fantastic depth. Mm-hmm. I do want to talk about community, because that's something that for me is synonymous with the Reign and several of the players. I want to ask it in two ways. First, for you, just individually, is it something that was always natural to you, or is it something you learned along the way? Like, when did it become important to say, you know, this is probably bigger than myself and I can actually make an impact with my platform in some ways?
Yeah, I think it's always pretty natural. I think, like I touched upon before, the area I grew up in, I think that was like a lot of what we had to do, because I just think we weren't exposed to like a lot of the bigger tournaments, bigger clubs. So it was just like the community-based thing is what really helped us. My club in general, we never played for club. It's the whole team kind of like pitched in, and that's how we like worked. Yeah, so like I kind of had that idea of like support and community is like what actually like is going to make you successful from really early, early age. And then obviously, like we talked about it, to get people into seats, I think for women's sports, they like to know the people more. So that's like something that's like been a big driver of mine. And it's fulfilling for me too, to go out in community and meet people. So
And it seemed like the Reign from a club perspective also really pushed that and encouraged that. And the connection you have with the fans, I mean, it's really exceptional. Just how special to be a part of a group that gets it done on the pitch, but then also off the pitch. Just as much, if not more.
Yeah, I definitely think we have values that are non-negotiable when we have clubs. So even when OL came in here, we're like, these things can't change. So we take pride in that, and we want to build, like, it's not just a 30-person squad. It's the city, and we're so lucky to be in the city that like supports all sports.
Absolutely.
Same values of what we share and stuff like that. So to be able to share that with our fans is special for us.
Yeah. How have you changed as a player since that rookie year in Philly?
Oh gosh. I came in as a center back and probably had 10 years as a center back.
I noticed that,
And I was like, what are you doing to me? We always laugh because like I was a left back in college, came into the professional and was like, center back is definitely where I'm at.
Wow.
Like I love to pass the ball. I like to organize. Yeah, I'm not I'm not athletic to like the extent that our league is. so I like found my place in that. And then, like every season, there's injuries. There's, you know, a need for maybe a little bit of change in the new system we play. I kind of play as a third center back, so mm-hmm. I'm kind of back in my normal habitat a little bit more, which I've been loving. But I think, like, as for women, it used to be like late 20s is your prime. It's now like mid 30s, which is like so cool.
Because amazing.
You have resources, your careers are extended. And I think that all comes down to experience, right? So it's like, as you continue to like grow the game, we're just also getting smarter as older players, and you have to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
I think Pino is like a huge testament to that. Right? She's going to be 38, I think, right now.
And it's
like, I've never seen her. Like, this is the best I've seen her play.
She's exceptional. Yeah.
Like, it's exceptional. Unbelievable. So it's like you just see like each year, and it's like, you know, you're like, everyone's like, oh, when are you going to retire because your age? I'm like, I just feel like I keep getting better and better. Like, I don't want to yet. Like, this is exciting.
I was going to ask that. No, I'm glad you said it first. So I was going to ask that because I don't want you to retire. So listen, 11 more years.
Yeah.
But are you someone that thinks about, okay, post-career, I like to do this, do that, be there? Or is it sort of day by day? Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I think earlier on it was day by day. I think obviously now that I am like going to transition probably sooner rather than later that I have to think about that stuff. And I think, you know, 5 years ago, I probably would say I probably wouldn't have stayed in soccer or sport. But now that we've grown so much, like I've really taken on to like GM roles. I love that idea. Yeah. I feel like I've got a lot of experience just from like, we didn't have that for a really long time. Yeah. So like our players, our managers, our captains were all doing it. So I have a lot of experience in so many different ways that I feel like can really help utilize like this club or if I wanted to stay in the NWSL to some extent. So I have been thinking about it. I talked to the Sounders quite a bit. Like I just like want to learn. I think that's my biggest thing. And I'm willing to like put that work in. So
I'm just going to say again, I'm not your agent. I can be, but I'm going to say this. I think you'd be great talking about the game on TV.
Yeah.
So for me, absolutely. Okay. You know the game, very high level.
Yeah.
You understand it. That's just an option. I'm just going to put it out there. You know.
Yeah, I know. I haven't really done much of that. I would love to give it a go.
You can do it. You can do it. You can definitely do it. Before we let you go, I want to ask a couple of things. So the game tomorrow, specifically, Portland Thorns.
Yeah.
Obviously a very good team. Mm-hmm. Some dangerous players.
Yeah.
What do you have to watch out for when you play this kind of opponent? And how do you manage the emotion of this type of, because a derby game is a bit different. A rivalry just hits a bit different. Yeah. How do you manage the emotion of, you know, not playing the occasion and still trying to play the game?
Yeah. We always kind of like have this inside joke is that we can do all this stuff tactically on the field, but when you get out there, it's like, it's just your heart.
It's, that's it.
You know, the crest that you wear. So we do take that into account. Obviously, their front line is very dangerous with Sophia Smith and Weaver coming up right now. It's been awesome, and she's been doing really well. So they have such a good tacking present that we have to, like, obviously take care of. And then, like, on the flip side, like, the Reign is known for a defensive side. So it's, like, always such a fun matchup.
Yeah, because, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. But, yeah, I think we want to use the emotions as, like, motivation. Obviously, like, especially with doubleheader, sellout crowd, like, that stuff is, like, exciting. We want to perform. These are, like, the environments you want to be in. You want to play in these, right? So stepping up to the occasion is something you obviously have to do. For us, it's also just another game. I think that's how we have to think about it. And really focusing on ourselves. Like, we've been working on a new system. We've now kind of added a different, like, layer to that system, like, recently. So, you know, just really focusing on us and doing what we're good at. We're really hard to beat.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have that mentality. Obviously, like, because we have newer girls on the team, like, I've had this question a lot, too. It's like, how do you tell them that, like, Portland games are different. You know, it's like, this is different than, like, any, like, league game. So the older ones have to, like, really share that experience. Obviously, Laura, you know.
Yeah.
We've been around it a lot.
It's funny you said it, because it was the same for us when we first came in, because a lot of us came from outside of Seattle. You know, I'm from London, but I spent 2 years in Ohio for college.
Steve, you're from London?
No one can tell. The accent doesn't really say much. But and then, you know, I came in, it was like, you know, we had all these veterans who had been with the Sounders in the USL days battling against the Timbers. And they were like, look, this game is different. Uh-huh. Like, you have to prepare different. I didn't get it. It took me 2 or 3 years to actually understand that what that rivalry was. And I'm sure it's the same on your side. So I'm excited to see the game. I won't be there tomorrow. I'm coaching a youth tournament this weekend.
Oh,
I'm going to be getting updates on my phone. It's going to be right next on the bench. I'm going to be getting the updates. But I do want to ask this as well. Off the pitch, because I always see sort of like, you guys just seem cool to me. Just a really cool team. You guys know and you said you're not, I mean, introvert, but I'm sure you guys know, because I'm a foodie. So I asked, we had Sam on here, I think last year, and I asked right away.
Who's our baker? She's the team baker.
And she named a spot in the place, and it's on my list. I still didn't go there where I need to go eat. But what sort of like, what's life off the field like when it's not soccer? Is it just more relaxed and chill? Is it checking out different sports? Yeah, how does it look off the field?
Yeah, I think our team's really close. We obviously have our little groups. But I do think, I mean, what's different, I think, a little bit than most teams is that, like, we just don't go home after. We definitely go and, like, hang out.
Yeah.
We all live in, like, a lot of us live in the same apartment building, which also helps.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think off the field, we spend a lot of time on the water now that, like, summer's coming around. A lot of us have, like, I think maybe four of them just went and bought paddle boards. So we're out in the water as much as we possibly can. And our team's big, big foodies. So, like, coffee.
Yeah.
We love to find. So, and now that we're in – I'm in Renton, so we're like a lot closer to Seattle, which has been helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, Tacoma was special in its own way, but so far from Seattle.
Correct,
so, it's been fun to be out and explore some more. Do you know what place Sam told you? Can you remember?
Well, I'm going to remember. It was a bakery. It might be. It was a bakery, but was it a Filipino bakery?
Okay, it was. So Hood Famous?
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah, so when we did the community stuff last year, that's kind of what we did with Laura Kleiss. We went around to all these restaurants. So. We love Hood Famous because it's like right next to Lumen, so you can just pop in like after games.
Yeah.
Filipino owned, which is the only one in the international district that's
there
left.
There you go.
That's one of our favorites.
Amazing.
We love Cafe Flora, which is up in Madison Park.
Amazing.
Which is incredible. Yes. Yeah. So, we love to explore new places, and I think it's also one of our biggest language. I think to connect with the community too. You sit down. You get to have conversations. You get to eat good food. It's like the way we love to share that way.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be selfish. We wish you could have it all day.
Yeah.
And we can just talk and talk and talk. But you do have a big game to prepare for.
Yep.
Thank you for making the time. Absolute pleasure. For me, it's an honor. You're obviously a legend in the game, a legend here for us in Seattle. It's been a privilege to watch you all these years, 11 more. And I'm excited
Cross
to see
fingers.
That. All the best tomorrow. Thank you for coming on. Yeah. Welcome back anytime.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I was really excited.
If you ever need a podcast producer, give me a call. You have my number now.
Love it. I'll get you hooked up. Sounds good. I know. Shout out to Brad for
And he's playing right now.
I know. Yeah. I saw
Did you
that.
Watch him last night?
I did not watch. I saw the text.
I saw the highlights.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so good.
He said it was weird.
Yeah, their team were the short shorts team. And I was just, I was about to like text him and I was like, you know what?
I'm going to call
I'll
him.
Make fun of him.
Let me make a note of that. That is funny. Awesome. Have a great training.
Thank you so much.
Hope you win the game tomorrow.
Appreciate it.